You're listening to IdolRadioShow.com.
With your amazing host, Daryl.
Idol Radio Show with Daryl. Sit back and relax and enjoy, 'cause we know you will.
Spinderella cut it up one time. Come on.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that make me. Let's talk about
all right, let's talk about sex. Over the last couple of weeks, my next guests have gotten, like, international airplay. In fact, I think I'm a little pissed off at them, because here I am doing a radio show and they're more famous than me. And I heard this Britney woman, which I wanted to yell at her so bad until I studied her, and then I just fell in love with her. It just went really from one extreme to the other. I heard this Britney woman bragging about how she did not advertise, and yet she's all over the place. I need to know how to do that. I really need to learn that secret. So I would like to welcome the creators, I'm assuming I'm saying it right, of the Midwest Teen Sex Show, Brittany and Guy. Welcome to the Idol Radio Show.
Hi.
How are you? Hey, what's up? Welcome, first of all. I don't know. Before we get into the meat of things, I do want to clear some ground. Brittany, I wanted to hate you. I will be honest with you. I wanted to. I don't.
You wanted to date me?
Hate you. I now want to date you. Are you?
You wanted to hate?
Yes.
Why? I have bad hearing. Why do you want to hate me?
Well, I wanted to hate you because of things that I read about you. Now, I'm a person who, I don't really take the quotes of things that are written, you know, when they're written by other people. I realize that most of that has to do with sensationalism. And I'm reading things like things that would lead anybody to believe, the way it was written, that you just want little kids to be out there having sex. That's the way things have been written about you.
About me or the show?
Yes.
Me specifically?
Well, they quoted you. They're talking about the show. But yeah, you were the one. The quotes came from you, but they were kind of spliced up. They weren't complete quotes.
What? Oh, my God. What kind of quotes? I mean, I totally want little kids out there having sex, but
right.
I don't remember saying that.
Well, I think somewhere you did, but then they didn't put in there that you were choking or something like that. But anyway, I started.
I thought I've always been really clear that I don't really agree with young people. I don't think that, you know.
Well, you could have been
out there just boning everybody.
You could have been crystal clear, but it doesn't matter
when
someone wants. You could have been crystal clear, but when someone wants to sell a paper, truth goes out of the window.
I've been bamboozled.
Right. Well, welcome to the show, and congratulations on the success of your show. And I'm jealous. I will honestly tell you both. I'm jealous.
Thanks.
Tell me how it got started. And Guy, wait, let's start with Guy. What is your actual role? Because as I start doing my research, I'm unable to tell.
I kind of created the show, and I'm behind the scenes. I direct it, edit it, kind of, you know. I'm the one that makes sure that Brittany says all the offensive things on camera.
There you go.
Yeah, anything that I've said that's really offensive were the only things that I did not write.
So
those are Guy's gems of gold.
So he is the Steven Spielberg behind this whole thing.
Well, I mean, I don't know. That sounded really complimentary.
Yeah, that sounded way too complimentary. Probably more like the Jack Horner.
So you all are local. I'm pissed off because if I would have known that, I would have invited you guys in front of me, because it's so much easier to talk when someone is right here. I did not know you're in Chicago.
What the hell?
Do you know anything about this weather? What did you guys control this? Did you bring the weather back from your vacation or something?
Well, I certainly didn't.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, this
it's shifting on us tomorrow, I think. So
yeah, this 50.
Don't get too happy with it.
Yeah, I'm sure this 50 degree weather in February or January is absolutely not normal. So the show, though, how did it come about? Whose idea was it, and what made you decide that we need to talk about teens and sex?
Well, I'm just a fan of podcasting and new media and stuff online. I mean, for the last couple of years, I've been listening basically since it started. I mean, obviously there's been internet radio and stuff for a long time, but mm-hmm. the way people have been able to selectively grab stuff in terms of that has really hit in early 2005. And that's kind of when video finally made it accessible to everybody. Mm-hmm. And I've just been a big fan of that, and I'm a filmmaker, or would-be filmmaker, and wanted to make something, and wanted to make something that was funny and also would give back, like educational. So it kind of went from there, and just had the idea in my head for a couple of years and just didn't have the facilities to make it. Finally got a camera and talked to Nicole and found Brittany via Craigslist, and just we all hit it off, and there you go.
So, but when you say you had it in your mind, did you just have in your mind you wanted to produce a show, or did you think that it was sex in the agenda?
Specifically teen sex education, because in our country, it just doesn't, teens are out there having sex, they're ill-informed, or if they're not having sex, they're still making bad choices about stuff, and just because a lot of that information's not out there, and it's available online, but to get them to pay attention, it's hard. So using humor and video and stuff like that seemed like a good way mm-hmm. to connect with teens.
So by the time you got in touch with Brittany, you already had started to develop the concept of teen sex already?
Yeah, exactly. But then, I mean, Brittany just brought this wealth of characters, and I mean, we just hit it off. She kind of brought it to the next level, because the initial people who responded to the ad looking for somebody was just like, you know, girls thinking, oh, I'm sexy. And we're like, no, we're looking for somebody who's funny. And so then it's become a real collaboration since then. So we've all gotten together.
So Brittany, I mean, is that a compliment? Is that a huge compliment to you, Brittany? You know, here you are. They're looking for somebody that they can really wrap this thing around a sexual type show, and then it's like you're perfect for it. I mean, does that really make you feel all warm and fuzzy inside?
I already felt warm and fuzzy, but that might be the gonorrhea. I gotta get that checked out. But no, I mean, it was a huge compliment. I mean, and I think when I responded to him, I was basically like, you know, I'm not sexy, but I can make jokes about sex, and you know, and I mean, I don't even really consider myself attractive, but I'm really good at making fun of attractive people. Mm. So I feel like, you know, Guy giving me the ability to do that and just have fun with it and whatever. And Guy thinks I'm pretty.
I do.
And he tells me that when he holds my hair back when I vomit. So it's, you know, it's a give and take relationship. You know, it's definitely a balance. But yeah, I mean, it's a huge compliment.
While he's holding your hair back and you are using the purging canteen, he's telling you how beautiful you are.
I didn't say I was purging. I might have just been on a bender.
Ah.
You know, I'm not bulimic. I just drink a lot to the point of vomiting.
Right. And so
don't forget that I'm classy.
Exactly. So the two fingers to thinner thighs concept you don't endorse.
No, definitely not. I think that everybody should be who they are and, you know, don't conform to society standards, and whatever you feel good about and whoever you truly are, whatever makes you happy is beautiful, you know. Mm-hmm. There's no definition of beauty, and people that try to make themselves fit under somebody else's idea of beauty is never going to be truly happy with themselves. You know, you have to think about what you truly want.
How do you guys
play with that in the show?
Yeah, yeah. How
well,
do you guys
play that with the show? Like the beginning of the show has Brittany, you know, dancing in a bikini top, but it's in a cornfield, so it's not supposed to be sexy.
Right.
It's supposed to kind of play off that this notion of you know, what is sexy in the media and stuff. We're trying to make fun of it in a way, deconstruct it.
How do you guys come up with your show ideas? Because you have some extremely interesting topics.
He's talking about anal sex, I think.
Oh, well, anal sex.
Wait. Since you guys brought it up. I was going to hold off and wait and talk about this a little bit later, but I want to bring my audience up to speed on just how graphic these people can get.
We're not that graphic. We pixelate my
nipples. I'm Nicole. This is the Midwest Teen Sex Show, and this week we're talking about... First, it's important that you always use a condom. Not only does it protect you from STIs, it protects you from poop.
Hey, Judy.
Hey, Brandon, with an E.
I'll be buying a few to pick you up at the back door.
Actually, I'd feel more comfortable if you came in through the front door.
I know it takes longer, but I'd really like to.
Yeah, I have a lot of junk blocking my back door right now.
I like checking out the craftsmanship of the chocolate mahogany.
Listen, either use my front door or just don't come.
I'll just shimmy down your chimney.
Your rectum does not lubricate itself, so show some appreciation for your partner by purchasing some good anal lube. Remember, bacteria lives in the butt, so once you've put something into the butt, don't put it anywhere else unless you've thoroughly cleaned it. But don't use bleach.
Okay, now I would like to say this. That last statement that you just talked about as far as the bacteria, that is so true. And this is something that I've been saying for so long, and it makes me not understand how a person can realize the amount of bacteria that's there and still want to do that.
Right.
Help me, because I don't get it. I honestly don't get it.
I mean, I think there should just be a general rule. You know, it's like if you're not willing to eat or put into your mouth whatever comes out of your body,
right?
Then maybe you should think about sanitizing it, you know?
But you can't sanitize that part of your body. It's not possible. If you sanitize your ass, you will get an infection.
But no, you can sanitize what goes into your butt.
Oh, well, but it's still, the process of bringing it back out is going to foul it up by what happens naturally.
Well, and we got a lot of emails asking us about anal sex, so we tried to get into the reality of just the, I mean, there's a lot of other stuff to talk about, the pleasure and what people like it and some people don't. But, I mean, our focus was just initially, Keynes just wanted to know, like, how does it work? And, you know, it's pretty gross on one level to some people, and it's pretty pleasurable to other people. But just the
right basics
of...
And that's what I'm
saying.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like, you know, you have people, I don't care too much about what people do, but like you have people like me who, there are things that I find so gross that it's not that I don't want other people to do it. It's just, I can't understand it. You know what I'm saying? And I don't even take it to the point of saying you shouldn't do it. I just really have been waiting for possibly somebody to explain it to me and make me at least understand. But I think that I need to just accept I'm not going to ever understand that one.
There you go. Well, I'm obsessive compulsive, so I'm washing my hands. So, as we speak, just the subject makes me.
Yeah, it makes you just want to go. So you had a lot of people that were asking about that. Does it now? When I watched that, I cringed because my daughter is 10. Now I don't want my daughter having any type of sex. In fact, I think that ever. I literally want to sign her up.
I'm with you.
Yeah, I want to sign her up for the nunnery right now. And when she's 16 or 17, just escort her there and visit her weekly after that. But the idea of her having anal sex literally makes me want to leap out of the 20th floor building that I'm in right now. When you're writing that, the script for that, does it enter your mind that some parent is going to see that and freak completely out, thinking of their precious daughter viewing it?
Well, no, I mean, yes. I mean, but we have to go into this thinking a lot of people out there don't even, you know, want to hear us talking about this stuff. But the point of the show is to not only talk about things in a way that other people aren't going to, but to talk about things that other people aren't going to, you know, and like I said, you know, the curiosity about anal sex is out there, whether or not, you know, kids are going to do it, and whether or not you want, you know, I doubt any parent actually wants their child having anal sex, but, you know, there's also the whole, like, well, you know, girls are maybe choosing to have anal sex because they can't get pregnant.
Right.
But then they're not thinking about the STDs.
Right.
And so as much as you don't want to think about your daughter, or any parent wants to think about their daughter having anal sex, and it's gross, and it's like, who would want to have that? You know, when you're full of hormones and you're horny as hell, and somebody's saying to you, you can't have sex, you're going to get pregnant, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then maybe they're thinking, well, maybe anal doesn't count as sex, and I can't get pregnant if it's in my butt. And there are people, you know, they're just trying to get, you know, they're finding a way around the limits that people are putting on them, because nobody, no parent is even maybe talking to their kid about anal sex. They're just saying, I don't want you to have a penis inside of your vagina.
Right.
Maybe parents need to start bringing up the butthole, you know? I don't know.
Yeah.
I just went on really long about butt sex. Sorry.
Well, no, it's just that, I mean, hopefully they're not watching it and then saying, oh, let's try it. Hopefully they're just, it's I think people make better choices when they have more information.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the idea of the show. It's not watch our show and go have sex. Watch
I don't,
our show.
I don't want people to have, I mean, I feel like.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just adding.
If you watch the wiener going into the peanut butter with chocolate sauce porn, if that actually makes you want to do it up the butt, I'm tapping out, because that's out of control.
Yeah, that segment was out of control. That was sick, sick, sick. And if you guys don't know what I'm talking about, need to let you know, you can check out their website at MidwestSexShow.com. I said it right, didn't I? Did I say it right?
MidwestTeenSexShow.com.
Midwest what? Midwest Teen, thank you. MidwestTeenSexShow.com. And you can see this graphic illustration with chocolate and a wiener.
Right. It's PG-13. It's not
a real wiener. It's a hot dog wiener.
Oh, you didn't do it to Lorena Bobbitt and there was not a real penis in your hand?
Well, I offered, but guy wasn't feeling it. And so, you know, and I don't really have any access to any other peni. So since guy wouldn't let me use his, I had no option but to go with Ballpark Franks.
You know, changing it up a little bit and just getting real serious, something that you said really struck a chord in me, seriously, and I'm not joking here. At the end of one of your videos, you said that if you think that your children are not curious about sex, or if you think that your children don't have questions about sex, you should read my email. And I as a parent who will find it extremely difficult to have these conversations, I think that my natural – now, I'm not a normal parent. I honestly am not. I pay a lot more attention to my child than most of the people that I know with theirs. But my first inclination still would be to think that my daughter doesn't have any questions. Not that I would end it there, but that's what I want to believe. So that's the natural inclination that I have there. And that really gave me a reality check.
When were you 10? Remember when you were 10? I'm sure you had questions.
Oh, I had questions and I had nobody to talk to either. Nobody.
Well, I know, but you're thinking, I mean, that's what we're trying to think about, is trying to come from the questions we had as teenagers and
right.
the stupid things we did.
Right.
So, I mean, that's kind of the thinking behind it.
Right. But my point is, and that's the point that I'm making, you know, most children just simply cannot talk to their parents about these things because their parents are too emotionally involved, completely unwrapped, and they can't handle it. I am going to be using your site to get myself in a position to be able to handle the discussion, which I think right there kind of makes me a little bit more advanced than many of the parents, at least the ones that I know. But I think that there are a lot of parents that are walking around thinking that. What type of emails do you guys get? What type of volume are you getting right now from teenagers?
We get questions every day. We probably get 10 to 20, just, you know, basic stuff about, like, I like this boy or I like this girl. How do I know if they like me? And then we get questions like, can I get an STD from oral sex? Well, of course you can't. But, you know, it's stuff they're not getting answered in school or at home.
Yeah.
And so we try to put it back on, you know, we try to get them to talk to their parents, obviously. But a lot of times it takes the parents to kind of open up the conversation with the kids because they are, you know, they know their parents are uneasy about talking with them, so they're going to be less likely to initiate.
But do you find that children?
What kind of questions do you get, Brittany? I'm sorry.
No, I was about to ask if you find that children are more apt to wanting to talk to their parents about it if their parents initiate the conversation.
Go ahead, guys. No, I just think once you get past that first conversation about sex, then the door's open. I'm not saying you're going to be like, oh, I had sex last weekend with your mom. It was great. No, nothing like that. But just the idea of, like, once you open the door, it's like, okay, it's, you know, sex is not a taboo. Because our culture makes it such a taboo in a lot of our, you know, a lot of ways, even though it's on TV all the time. Once you open that, have that first conversation, it just makes it okay for the kid to ask questions. And it, you know, and it, they may be, you know, and it does, they're not going to be about anal sex. They're going to be very, they're going to be more, I think, basic stuff. It's not, you know, just, you know, basic curiosity.
But eventually the child might want to discuss anal sex with the parent. How can do you think that a parent can get him or herself ready to handle that discussion? I think that it would kill me.
But would you prefer, you know, your daughter having a conversation with somebody else about anal sex? You know, wouldn't you, parents, you may not want to talk to your kids about this stuff, but knowing that, you know, if they can go to you as opposed to some stranger or getting information that you're not, you know, previewing beforehand, it gives you a lot of power. You know, you just kind of have to compartmentalize and realize, yes, I may be talking to my daughter about, you know, wieners in the butt, but I'm doing it to protect her and to give her what she needs to know so she doesn't go out there and make the wrong decisions, you know? So you have to kind of, and this is going to sound weird or whatever, but you kind of have to not get over yourself, but get over the fact that you're her dad and that you're also her friend and that you care about her and that you can forget about your role in her life and just concentrate on what you need to do to make sure that, you know, she has the best life possible and talk about the things that she needs to talk about, not necessarily the things that you want to talk about.
So I should resist the urge to tell my daughter that that is the most repulsive thing ever and she should never, ever, ever consider doing that. And even saying something I don't believe, like, you're going to go to hell if you do that. Now, I don't think that.
No, you shouldn't do that.
I don't think that. But if that's going to stop her from doing it, I just might say it.
But no, see, but
you know they do the opposite.
See, but the problem is that when you exaggerate to your kids and you tell them and you use the scare and fear method to prevent them from doing things, once they find out that you are exaggerating and that they're not going to go to hell if they do that, they're going to think that you're lying to them and that there goes the trust, you know, and then you're not going to be able to have a real conversation because they're going to think that everything you tell them is BS, you know? So that's why it's like, we talk about the things that we talk about in the casual, funny way that we do because, you know, to try, if a kid asks you a question, just give them a frank answer. Be like, you know, just be like, I'd prefer you not to do, you know, like you just need to, guy, I'm tapping out here. I don't know what I'm talking about anymore.
No, I mean, yeah, I mean, we, a lot of message to kids is, you know, you can get this from sex, you can get this from sex, but then they find out sex is pleasurable, and no one ever told them that. And
oh yeah, I'll never tell my daughter that.
Yeah, so you have to put that part in there too, so they know. It's like, well, why does everyone want to have sex? Well, because it's pleasurable, but there are risks and, you know, consequences to having sex. But if you just make it this unholy, horrible act, and then they find out, well, it feels good. They're not going to listen to adults. That's unfortunately, that's the issue. I mean, and we have higher pregnancy rates right now. We've got to push for abstinence only education the last 7 years and all that. I mean, I think the numbers are that, you know, kind of speak for it all.
So this,
but we're making a comedy side too.
It is funny, yeah. And this concept that most parents would like for their children to just not have sex in 2008. Do you think that that's just a completely unrealistic scenario?
Well, I think if you have informed kids, they're going to better listen to you than if you're preaching a message to wait till marriage or not have sex while you're a teenager or whatever. If you're open to them about sex and the pleasures and the consequences, I think they're going to listen to you more than if you're just like, you can't have sex till you're married, blah, blah, blah,
right,
and not talk about it. It's much, so we're not saying that your teen is going to go have sex. I mean, some are, some aren't. It's, that's not the, message of the show. It's to talk about it so everyone can be informed and hopefully make the right choice. And if the right choice is waiting till marriage, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, can you
just like you, Brittany, right? You're waiting.
Yeah, Brittany, oh. what's the deal with you? Do you have a sex life?
Thanks, guy. Thanks a lot. Yes, I do have a sex life, but it did not start until I was 18. And then I ended up taking a couple years off because I wasn't, you know, I wasn't ready. And I was to the point where, you know, once I became technically sexually active, and then the time between each encounter was very wide. There was a very long time because I knew about the consequences, and I was just like, you know what? It's really not worth it to me right now. Mm. You know, for the 3.5 minutes of quote unquote pleasure, it's not worth getting an STD. It's not worth getting pregnant. And, you know, so even after, like, so basically I made the decision to not have sex. Once I became sexually active, that's when I started to not want to have sex. 'Cause I was like, yeah, I mean, it kind of feels good, but you know, it's like, do I really want a baby? Do I really want open sores on my genitals? Mm-hmm. Not really. So, you know what? I'll just hump my bedpost and call it a night.
So, and that's actually a message that you can give out to other people because it's something that you've actually lived. Like, I'm sure that most parents and their children never talk about masturbation. It would be like, get out of here. It just doesn't happen in most cases. Did you have an open and honest relationship with your parents while growing up?
I had a very open and honest relationship with my parents, but not necessarily dealing with sex. My parents never really had the talk with me, which I can't say is a bad thing because I think they kind of knew. I'm kind of a special case scenario. I was a late bloomer, you know, where when everybody was like 15, 16 and all they wanted to know about was sex and they were just, I still had the body of like a 9-year-old boy. I didn't even like boys. I wasn't concerned with sex. I didn't even really know anything about it. And so I just kind of lived in this bubble and I never really was exposed to it until I was like, you know, 17, 18. And then by that point, I kind of, you know, was getting information on my own, but I kind of escaped that whole naive couple of years where you can get yourself into trouble by not knowing things just because I was like a little kid. Like I grew up a lot slower than most people my age. You know, I was building forts while everybody else was trying to get boned. But I make really good forts, so.
So, Brittany, help me to understand this. What is it that makes you want to help kids? Like, you know, is there something that some work that you've done or just something that gives you this natural inclination towards teenagers? Or is it just an idea that you grasped and just really got?
Well, I mean, I thought the idea was absolutely brilliant. I thought it was hilarious. So on multiple levels, you know, as far as writing and concept and comedy, I thought it was genius. And then I was like, wow, this is something really great because it's not mindless jokes. You know, it's something that we can, you know, we can actually maybe accomplish something or at least get people talking and in the hopes to do something with. So, you know, I'm not, you know, I like to make people laugh, but I like to make people laugh in order to make people happy. And I'm huge on just, you know, people making the right decisions and taking responsibility for their own actions. Like I'm a huge advocate of, you know what you're getting yourself into and then be an adult enough to be able to deal with that no matter what happens. And that goes on, you know, the younger generations and on the older generations, you know, parents, if you have kids, you know, you have to take responsibility for the fact that you have kids, you know, and you may not want to talk about this stuff, but you have to. You have kids and you have to help raise them and you have to do what you need to do to make sure that they have the best options and the best information so that they can be mature, intelligent adults that make good decisions based on the information that they have, you know, and being able to tell them things, but not tell them to do things. You know, give them what they need to know so that they can make the decisions on their own. You know, people should think for themselves, and kids should be able to get the chance to do that, you know. And I feel like if we give kids the chance, that they'd be, you know, we'd be really surprised that they'll make intelligent choices instead of shoving these ideas down their throats,
yeah,
and trying to mandate instead of just inform.
You guys have recently gotten, I mean, your show is getting a lot of attention, and recently you guys were on CBS Evening News. How did that come about, and how did the popularity of your show just skyrocket so fast?
Well, I mean, I take my top off.
Well,
so
I just, so that did it, huh? I would like to see that video too, because I've not seen your abs. I've not seen your breasts. So if you could direct me to
you
that,
have not seen my breasts.
I have not. So if you could direct me to that video, I'd greatly appreciate it. I'll watch it as you speak.
It's on the website.
I think it's episode 10.
You're being completely serious. Your breasts are on this website.
Oh no, they're blurred out.
No, they're blurred out.
Oh, well, I saw that. Then I saw it.
It's PG-13.
Well, can we get an R version for me?
Say that again.
I would like an R version for the host.
Yeah, listen. Do you want to see the live performance?
I do. I absolutely do. Particularly since you guys are right here. You guys, is there any way for you to get to the studio in the next 3 minutes?
Before my nipples get soft.
Right. Well, we got ice, so those don't worry about it. We can get it back going. But how did it? I mean, really though, what you've accomplished is amazing. How did this happen, as far as popularity goes? Because you have many of us that are, you know, we have regular shows out there, and I know it's a hit or miss type of a thing. But is it the
sex? We're not making any money, so you know, yeah, we're popular, but we're still looking for sponsors.
Well, you know what? We're popular too. We're popular too, and we're looking for sponsors as well. So I completely understand where you're coming from. But it obviously it gets, you know, the attention. You guys don't do any promotion still?
Not yet. I mean, other than this kind of stuff, obviously doing interviews and stuff like that. I mean, the core, I mean, I think the thing is that it's a reasonably well-produced show. It's short. It's funny. You know, I just think the on-screen talent's really good. There wasn't a show like this. There were a million tech podcasts, there were a million video shows and audio shows about technology in 2005 and 2006. Now it's slowly, you know, gotten into other aspects. And so, you know, teen sex education hadn't been tapped.
Right.
So I think that's, and because people are afraid to talk about it in schools and at home, I think that's why it sort of took off, because teens want to talk about it.
You guys did an episode that I, as a father, really appreciate, and I almost just want to thank you for it. The episode 3, The Older Boyfriend, that was genius. And well, they're all genius, but that was genius to me personally. There's this phenomenon that's going out there where you have older guys, particularly now that we're in a digital and internet society, and they're just preying on these young boys and girls. And I think that it's becoming real dangerous, because so many young people almost are seeing this as just normal, just acceptable, you know? And I think that something like this really needs to be put out there. You guys really laid it out in that episode. Did that come from an email or just from your knowledge that this is a problem?
That one came from me being an older male. I don't find teenage girls attractive. You know, I'm in my late 20s. I can't even talk to a 21-year-old these days. They're just not attractive. You know, it's just like on a mental level, let alone a physical. It kind of floors me to see that these teenage girls dating guys in their late 20s or 30s. It seemed absurd to me, and so it was something, I don't know, I wanted to look at. Of course, that's become one of our most controversial episodes for some reason, but.
Controversial? How? Like what? Where would the controversy be?
We get email. We get emails from men who say no, it's okay. We get emails from girls who date, you know, say, oh, my older boyfriend's different. You know, we're mature and in love, and yet they're kind of echoing what we say. And then we get the mess. Lately, we've been getting, and I think valid on some levels, is that, well, we're putting all the the responsibility on the teen. Well, we're talking to the teen girl in that video. You know, obviously we need, you know, a separate video could target the older men, but recently we had criticisms that, well, you're putting all the blame on the teen girl for making these choices. But that's, you know, that's who we're trying to reach, is to talk to. So.
Yeah, do you think that there's any way you're going to be able to talk to the older man? I mean, at a certain point, if you're an old man.
Honestly, no.
Right, exactly.
Honestly, no.
If you're an old man that's attracted to a little kid, I think that as a society, we just have to realize you're outside of our reach. I personally, it's funny because I have this really extreme stance on that. I personally, this is my personal opinion, I think that a child molester, which I see that as being, I think a child molester is beyond our ability to help. I think that they have a particularly deep type of sickness, and I do think that it's a sickness. And I don't necessarily know that they're responsible for it. However, I still think we need to kill them. Because I think that there's no chance we can help them.
Like a true father.
Yeah, exactly.
What people have also been saying is that, you know, that if a girl goes, once a girl goes through puberty and gets her period, that she's no longer a child. So if you're a man and you're attracted to a 15-year-old, if she has gotten her period, she is a woman, she's no longer a child, so that means you're not a child molester, you're not a pedophile.
Right.
And that's where that line gets blurred, where people are you know, they're saying, well, no, I mean, I'm 21 and I'm dating a 15-year-old and I'm not sick, you know. But it has nothing to do with Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, when it gets closer to like 16 and 19, you know, there are exceptions, I'm sure. I'm a product of a 17-year age difference, but my mother was in her 30s, you know, like she wasn't 15.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's always going to be exceptions, but I think we were really looking at the larger age disparity, especially, you know, I mean, I don't see why a 15-year-old should be dating someone in their 20s.
No, and I totally agree, but the controversy that we've gotten back, you know, people are saying, well, it's not, you know, it's not sick.
They're saying it's evolution, it's genetic.
It's evolution, and it's, right. Yeah, and it's like if a woman has gone through puberty, that it's only natural that we find them attractive. And I, you know, I disagree. If you're a 30-year-old man and you find, you know, a 13 to 16 or 17 or even 18-year-old girl attractive, it's like, again, like Guy was saying, you know, you probably can't even have a conversation on the same mental level. So obviously there's something, it's purely physical, you know, it's like, oh,
but then the sex isn't going to be good. I mean, the sex isn't going to be, like, what, you know, is it because...
Well, you don't know how many 30-year-old boyfriends she had before this one, you know.
That's true.
Well, I mean, her last boyfriend was 48, so she knows what's going on.
Well, sex also is an extremely mental thing as well, and I think that one of the things that problems that we have is it's difficult to get in the mind of somebody that's sick, because if they are older and they're attracted to little kids, then the mere fact of what they're doing could just be great. You know, it could be the best sex they've ever had because they're doing so much of what they want to do. They really want to be doing this. And that alone could make the sex great. I think it's difficult for us to even grasp that, you know?
Right.
Totally.
Yeah. It's a sick thing.
This is deep stuff, yo.
I know. So before we let you go, what's your overall, objective? And well, before you tell me overall objective, I understand, Brittany, that you, if we want to be serious for a moment, you don't think that kids under 17 should be having sex. Do I have the number right?
I mean, I don't want to say, I'm not one to say, like, this is how it should be and blah 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 blah. You know, I think that everyone is ready at different times. You know, I didn't start having sex until I was 18, and I probably could have waited, you know, even longer. I think people just need to slow down. I think that kids should maybe enjoy being kids for a little bit longer, and not worry about growing up so fast. But that's me, you know, like, I'm still a little kid. I still make forts. Do you want to come over and make a fort? But yeah, I mean, I don't even know what a good age is. I just think that, you know, it's all about being ready. And whenever you're ready, that's going to be a different age. But you know, personally.
Sometimes we think we're ready before we are.
Before we are, right. And that's why it's like maybe you should, in spite of yourself, slow down a little bit. Because we always think that we're older than we are. You know, like when you're 15, you feel like, you know, why are all these adults telling me what to think? Like, I'm an adult, you know. But, I mean, I don't know what a good age to have sex is. I'm not going to tell people when to have sex.
I think 34.
30.
Well, see, I'm a
Never.
Little bit stronger.
I think that we should all be eunuchs, personally.
I think 90. I think that if you reach 90, then you deserve to be able to have sex. And I think that the age should be younger for men. I think 65 for men, 90 for women.
65 and 90. No, yeah. That's hot.
That would be hot.
I'm down with that.
Hey, have you guys ever considered creating a show to teach the elderly how to get how to have a good sex life? Because this is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that when you're 80 and 90, you come from a society where you were younger in the 30s and 40s. So you probably never really got that sex. You never really got that passion. Has it ever occurred to you guys to make it your focus?
Yeah, no. People have been fucking for it. Oh, can I say that online? I'm sorry.
You actually can say it.
Okay.
But they were doing it, but that doesn't mean they knew what they were doing. That doesn't mean that they knew the techniques. That doesn't mean that they really experimented. I mean, can you imagine? I think this is just Daryl talking. I think you guys should have a sex education on-site class for the elderly and perform. Have them perform their sex acts right there in front of
them. The Midwest geriatric?
Yes. Yes. Have Tylenol on hand along with the doctor.
This episode sponsored by Metamucil.
Yes.
I love it. I'm so down.
I think that would be great. I think that would be absolutely great. You can have Dr. Ruth.
How to use your osteoporosis to your sexual advantage.
Or you can teach him how to use
those. Are you writing this down? This is good stuff.
I am grabbing the camera right now. I'm heading to the nearest nursing home.
You can take those walkers. I know there are a lot of creative things you can do with those walkers. I know the walker is a playground for positions. It just is.
I use a walker, and I'm not 90.
Well, but my point is, you need to get creative with that walker. The walker can be used for great sexual positions.
That's what I'm saying. I don't use it to walk.
So we're on the same page there.
I mean, I'm pretty much a gymnast.
How often do you guys do your show? How often is it updated currently?
It was twice a month. We're at once a month right now. We're going to have a new episode up tonight on pornography. Should be pretty good.
Yeah.
And we're actively seeking some, you know, funding so we can kind of be, you know, unfortunately it's a labor of love right now, so it takes a lot of time to shoot them and write them and all that stuff. So we'd love to do two a month.
Do you do any other type of audio podcasting or internet radio or radio or anything like that?
No, I'm just an avid listener.
Okay. Well, why not get involved? Why not actually get a show?
Yeah, guy. Why not? Huh? Yeah. Why not, guy?
Because my plate is full. I don't know about Brittany, but my plate is full.
Brittany, what about you? Imagine a weekly show where you get on and you just discuss sexual teen issues. Wouldn't that be amazing?
It would be amazing. I just, I don't even think that I'm qualified to do something like that.
Oh,
you know,
you are.
I'm good at doing accents and making jokes and looking like an asshole. And that's, you know, I don't know if I would be a good person for that.
Well, think about it. And whenever you guys are ready for that, just hit up the All Digital Radio Network and we'll find a slot for you on our station.
Oh, well, I mean, if you have the slot, I'm totally qualified.
Oh, well, see, that changed everything, didn't it?
You have a slot? That's, well, let me send you my resume.
Please send it right on over. Okay, so we got the new episode going up tonight. Everyone should please go on over to the MidwestTeenSexShow.com. Did I say it right this time?
Totally.
Got it.
MidwestTeenSexShow.com. But at the end of today, we're going to put this particular conversation as well as links back over to your website on the front page of idleradioshow.com so that everybody who may have come in and out during different portions of this conversation can get back and hear it. Any parting words from my special guest for the day?
Oh.
Just check out the site. I don't know, Brittany.
Call me the next morning.
Well,
there you go. Hey, come, you know, join in the discussion. Go to our site. It's not just about watching the videos. Go ahead and comment, join the discussion, all that. We love to hear back from people, not just in email, but really comment on the site. We like that because it gets people talking.
Yeah, get involved.
Exactly.
Don't just sit on the sidelines. Get involved. This has been Brittany and Guy from www.midwestteensexshow.com. I really appreciate you guys being on with us. And whenever you guys are doing anything that you need to get out, like if you need to get the promotions out for anything, just let us know here at the Idol Radio Show, and we will do our part to get the word out. Now, you guys are being stalked by people like CBS Evening News with Katie Couric, so we can't compare with that, but we'll do our part.
Yes, you are so – no, stop it. You make me wish I
could have, like, a longer conversation with you. That's what we like. A real conversation, not a soundbite.
So. Yeah,
and your voice is so much sexier than Katie Couric's. No lie.
Wow, this is – hold on. Now I have to just use my radio voice for the rest of this whole interview. So
I can go – oh, you do your radio voice and I'll do my phone sex voice and we can meet in the middle.
Hey, what's a good age to start doing phone sex?
A good age for phone sex.
Yes, what's a good phone sex age?
Well, it depends. As in, it depends whenever you have 3.95 per minute. Your allowance like?
I actually right now I'm up to $15 per week, so I could handle a couple of minutes a week with phone sex.
Definitely. You know what? You call me, and I'll only charge you $1.95 a minute.
Hmm.
And I'll also send you some rebate coupons in the mail.
Now, do you think that phone sex is an actual way out for teens to not have actual sex? Or do you think that something like phone sex makes you more prone to wanting to do it? Because I'm so stuck in the middle there.
Yeah, I mean, every time I have phone sex, it kind of it makes you...
Is that what we're having now? I'm so confused.
I mean, I'm definitely going to need to change my pants, but that's only because it's 1:22, and I always change my pants at 1:22.
Well, I change mine once a week, and it'll probably be today.
What'll be today?
I change my pants once a week, and I'll just go ahead and change them today.
You make me feel so special. I don't know. When I have phone sex, I kind of get turned on, and it makes me want to have it more, but, I mean, it's just kind of like, you know, I use it as a tool, especially for, you know, like long distance relationships and stuff. You know, you do what you need to do. I actually use it as a tool to help me stay monogamous, yeah. Which actually we should do a show on, Guy. We should do a show on monogamy.
I think we'll work on it.
Well, let's start working on it. Let's start working on it real quick right here. Are women, you just said you use phone sex as a way to help you stay monogamous. Now, the stereotypical view that we as men have is it's men that have this issue, not women. That's what we're led to believe.
Yeah, but I'm kind of masculine. I'm kind of like a dude. So, again, I'm kind of an exception to the rule. But I operate more under a masculine mentality as opposed, you know, as my eyes start to wander and I'm kind of anti-commitment and all that. So, you know, I require things like phone sex and dirty texts and all that.
Guy, do you find that to be the case with guys in general, that it's very difficult for guys to commit? And do you think that guys say they're committed when they're just not?
No, because, I mean, I know people who are in committed relationships and are, but, you know, speaking from my own experience, you know, I'm a boy. I like the ladies, so I think it really depends. I think especially younger males and stuff, yeah, I mean, it's impossible. I can't speak from being older. I'm not married. I'm a single man about the town, so.
Guy. What was that ring you put on my finger?
I just got.
I hate to think that, like, just we're all pigs and we just want to screw everything that we
But need, realistically, but. That's accurate though. I mean, you hate to think it, but realistically, it's not far from the truth.
Yeah. I don't know if it changes according to Woody Allen. It doesn't. So,
Hey. Brittany, I just got an instant message from someone asking for your phone number because they're so in love with the things that you've been saying.
Really?
Yes.
Was it a guy or a girl?
This was a guy.
Okay. Tell him to email me at the website with a picture, and we'll see what happens.
You just told him. He's completely listening, trust me. You have his undivided attention at this point.
What's his name? What's his name?
I can't say his name. He's famous.
You can't say his name?
Well, because he's sort
Maybe
of famous.
He wants me to have his name.
He'll get it to you, trust me. He will get it to you. But he's semi-famous, and because of that, we have to just keep it under wraps.
Is that Kevin Federline?
You know what? How did you know?
Has he
just been bothering you completely over the last couple of months?
Well, he just like, I think it's the name Brittany. He just needs to let it go, you know, because I am not shaving this head. You know what I'm talking about?
It's not happening. You guys,
I'm masculine enough. I need to keep my luscious locks.
You guys have been an absolute delight. I do want everybody to check out MidwestTeenSexShow.com. Remember us over here anytime you guys need to promote something. But thank you so much for being with us, Brittany and Guy. I really enjoyed having you.
Thank you so much. You've been the highlight of my day. Tell my boss.
Awesome.
I won't tell anybody. Thank you both. All right. All right, everybody. That was Brittany and that was Guy. For more information about them and their show, again, I started out wanting to hate them and I fell in love with the whole idea. www.midwestteensexshow.com. I think that what I've learned today is that I'm going to send my daughter to them when it's time to have the discussion. You guys are listening to the most listened to radio program on the internet, The Idol Radio Show.
You're listening to idolradioshow.com
with your amazing host, Daryl.